welcome to the Liberty Church podcast. We pray that as you listen to one of our amazing team bring the Word of God, you are encouraged and challenged, and that your faith is stirred. To get in touch or for more information about us as a church, head to libertychurchuk.com.
This is family, this is all in, and I don't know where this is going to go, but I've got 12 minutes. I'm just going to get this out and then we're going to pray. And kids, you can sit with your family. You can sit wherever you want. But I just want to take this moment. The last few weeks, we've been talking about foundations. No other foundation. And as I've been thinking on it this week, we need to start naming what the foundation is. We need to start naming the truth of Jesus Christ is our very foundation. See, today we continue looking at the foundations that we build in our lives. And these foundations are trusted for the youngest and the oldest in this room. And we'll have a bit of interaction at the end, but I love John 14 verse 6. He says, Jesus answered, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. So church, youngest to the oldest, Jesus is saying, I am the way and the truth and the life. So when he says that, do you know what? I want to listen. When he says that, I want that to be the foundation of my life. But we build upon the foundation of Jesus. Our lives are built upon that truth, that powerful truth. In our lives, in our families, we want to build on that truth. But it might just be me. And as I've been looking, do you know that there are things that in our life that will want us to believe that is the truth? There will be things in our life which actually come and masquerade and pretend they're the truth, but actually it's just a lie. But that is so often what we build upon our lives. We build our lives upon actually more to do with circumstantial truth than Jesus Christ being the truth. We so often build on the voice of truth from our friends and our family and our teachers and what they say, rather than going, Jesus, you said you are the way, you are the truth, and you are the life. How do I build upon that? See, as parents, as carers, as grandparents, whoever we are in this room, if we've maybe got children we interact with on a weekly basis, we have to name the truth that we build our life upon. We can't just say we are building upon the truth, because the reality is there's a whole world out there saying this is the truth. So if we are not naming what the truth is, and the truth is that Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, then that is the truth. But when we're building foundationally, what is the truth in our homes that we build upon? What is the truth in my life and your life that you build upon? Is it more based on the interaction of others and the circumstances of what goes on in school? Or is it actually Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever? See, the whole point of a foundation is that it is strong. It gives a firm base of whatever may come above the surface. If we don't set out what is truth and what is the foundation in our life, others will set their own truth in our life. If we don't set the truth in our two-year-olds, someone else will. And that's not about putting pressure or an overwhelmingness. It's actually a flipping brilliant privilege, isn't it? Come on. Because the same Christ, same power that raised Christ from the dead lives in me and lives in my two-year-old. Even in the tantrums. Even in the not going to bed. Come on. We need to build a foundation in their life. See, don't let the environment or circumstance shape your truth. Often, we become a product of our surroundings. So I'm trying to keep to my notes so it keeps me going. Well, often we become a product of our surroundings, of our circumstance, and then suddenly we make a truth around the circumstance. We make a truth or a destination on something which actually was supposed to be a through road. So we actually set up camp and go, well, this is my truth. This is the circumstance I'm living in. I remember when me and Lois got married. And do you know what? It was hard. The first couple of years, Lois moved from London and started working in a bank, and she hated it. And for the first 6 months of our marriage, she used to come home crying herself every day. You might go, well, she probably does that for the next 10 years as well, being married to you. But for the first 6 months, and I remember in that moment, suddenly I was ready to make that my truth. My truth that I was a failure as a husband. The truth that actually this is not the place where we're supposed to be. And we were ready to set up camp and go, do you know what? This is our truth. This is what we declare over us. Rather than Jesus saying, hey, that's just a through road. That's not a truth. That's not a destination.
Very good.
I love the story of the prodigal son. And many of you may know it, but in reality, the prodigal son went to his dad and said, I know ballet, give me all the money. I want to go off on my own way. And basically, the money dried up. And there's this powerful moment in Luke 15:19 when the prodigal son finds himself in a pigsty, surrounded by pigs, because that's where pigs live. All the mud, all the muck. And it was this moment which grabbed me this week. And it said, I, and this is the prodigal son speaking, I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Treat me as one of your hired servants. This is what he said in the pigsty. He was rehearsing it before going to see his dad. So what was the prodigal son doing? He set up camp and said, you know what? I'm no longer worthy to be called son. So the truth I'm going to live in is that I'm going to be a hired servant. This is where I'm going to find myself. See, he found himself defined by a situation, and he started believing the lie and allows it to be his truth. The prodigal son started believing the lie and started declaring it as a reality in his life. But the father, he knew the truth. Even in the circumstance that the prodigal son found himself, even in the disobedience of the running away, the father knew that actually this pigsty was not going to define him because he was his son. The father saw his son through the eyes of truth. You are my son. And that's how he sees each and every one of us, the youngest and the oldest. Does the things we allow to take foundation in our life and build upon and declare as truth, is that how God sees us? Right now, you might be believing a lie. You might be believing a lie and actually not calling it a lie, but actually saying, this is my truth. But is the truth you're declaring over your life right now, is that actually through the eyes of Jesus, or is that through the eyes of circumstance or experience? So often, I love this, in our homes, let's not just say nice things. Let's not just say nice and kind things. And that's good. Do say nice and kind things. Don't go home and say, well, Gaz said to be rude, Mum. No, I didn't say that. But let's get better at declaring God's truth over one another. Like, we have an opportunity as we leave the doors today to have tea and coffee. And we've got an opportunity to talk about Liverpool winning the FA Cup. And you can do that. That gets a standing ovation. All right, let's not get into rivalry. Or we have an opportunity to declare his truth over one another. Because do you know what? I need to hear that truth. I need you to be encouraging me today. Do you know what? There's a parent in this place who needs your encouragement today. There's an older person in this place today who needs you to encourage them and go, God is not finished with you. But it takes the family. So often, we set up camp. Guys, you're doing a great job, by the way. It's so good. I'm bringing it to a close. So often, we set up camp and declare a truth and make that circumstance the destination, which was actually just to be meant part of God's journey and God's testimony in our life. See, God hasn't finished with you, but for many of us, we've actually finished with God. And I don't mean that in the sense of that you've walked away from God. And I don't mean that you're not turning up to church or even praying. But actually, you've got to a point in your life where you've set up camp and said, this is my truth. God, you finished with me. I'm happy to settle. Do you know what? I've been there. I've done that. I've got the t-shirt. But what can I say is that God today in his kindness saying, I see where you are in the pigsty, but I don't see you through the eyes of yourself. I see you through the loving eyes of the Father. Whoa, come on. Let me just skip past these couple of bits to bring this to a land. Matthew 9, 23 to 26. The synagogue leader's home. And his daughter is dead. There's a lot of noise. The truth, if this was in our modern day, we'd probably put a thing in the Argus and say, she is no longer with us, she is dead. Do we still do Argus announcements? But there was a truth that she was dead. And the people, as Jesus turned up, he said, go away, the girl is not dead, but she is asleep. But they laughed at him. The reality is in that room, there was a lot of truth. She is dead. She is finished. But Jesus walks into that room and goes, do you know what? You're seeing it through the eyes of circumstance. You're seeing it through the eyes of testimony and experience. But I'm actually seeing it through the eyes that she is not dead. She is asleep. Dead things come to life. Speak. And awake. So today, what voices, what noise are we declaring over ourselves, which is saying that is dead in your life, that is the truth, that's where you need to settle? Because we're going to just go back into the song in a moment before we pray for Jim and Sarah and the family. But I believe that Jesus is wanting to walk through the aisles today. And in his kindness and his mercy and his grace, he wants to just give us a hug and say, I see you, child. I see you. You think you are finished. You think that is the truth you're declaring over my life. But I want to come in, and I don't just want to come in with a big brass statement. I want to hug you and show you that I don't see you through the eyes of circumstance, but I see you through the eyes of who I am and who you are in me. The truths that we build our life upon are to be foundational to our life, but they are not meant to be hidden. What God is doing in your life, what God has done in your life, forms the foundation of who you are and your walk with him, but they are not meant to be hidden. It's not meant to be a great mystery that you take to the grave. It has actually a part of us that what we do on a Sunday is declaring who he is and what he's done in our life. And that testimony and that sharing of the truth is actually what the younger guys need. It's what I need. I need someone a little bit further in their marriage saying, do you know what? God is not finished with your marriage. Look at what he's done in my marriage. We need a few parents who come alongside, maybe that new parent, and goes, do you know what? It's hard right now. I can't take away the sleepless nights, but what I can do is declare that God is good, that this is just a season, and that is something that we as the family of God can declare today. Yeah. Amen. Then finally, to back that up, I love the scripture. Psalm 145, and we can stand in this place. Funny how you write so much and you're like, well, that goes. But God says, uses a vessel to declare hopefully what he wants to do. And Psalm 145, 4 to 7. And I believe this is actually an invitation and a declaration to the church of God, not just here in Liberty, but right across our nation. This is actually a call to arms, if you want to call it. This is actually a powerful declaration from the eyes and the mouth of the Father. And he says, I see you. But I have not finished. I need you to be part of my story. Trust the story. And Psalm 145, verse 4 to 7, we say, one generation shall commend your works to another and shall declare your mighty acts. See, one generation, we need you, Phil Bosch, declaring what he has done in your life so that you, Adam, can hear and go, I hear that, Phil. Let's walk the journey together. And we declare in them what Adam does is, who can I actually bring on this journey? Who can I declare and actually say, this is what God's done in my life, Adam Hodges, but this is also what God has done in Phil Bolsh's life. It takes one generation to commend your works to another. See, on the glorious splendor of your majesty and on your wondrous works, I will meditate. So as we hear the good works, as we hear the testimony of what God's done in Phil's life or in Ruth's life or in Joe's life, we actually go, this is what's going to stir in my life. If he can do it for him or do it for her, he can do it for me. They shall speak of the might of your awesome deeds, and I will declare your greatness. Imagine in 5 years' time, like some of these guys, they've been in kids' church here. Imagine in, not even in 5 years' time, imagine in a month's time, your child stands up here and goes, do you know what? I heard testimony. I can declare that God is good, not just because I believe it in my life, but I see the church family declaring who he is. See, I will declare the greatness of God, not just from my experiences or circumstances, but from what I hear from the saints of God. What I hear being declared, but what are we hearing? What are we allowing to be made truth in our life? Because as we declare, there are people listening. In every part of our life, the things that come out of our mouth, our children are listening. On a Sunday, when we're getting tea and coffee and maybe talking about, well, I'm not sure if worship was that good today. There's a bunch of people listening. And that's an invitation to each and every one of us to go, like we said, that we are in. We will go because life is too short. And the kindness of God is saying to each and every one of us, from the youngest to the oldest, you are part of what I want to do. You are part of my story. So, one generation will tell of your good works. Will you take up the invitation? By the way, that was an invitation and maybe a call and response. Maybe I'm going to ask that one more time. Will you take up the invitation that one generation will tell of his good works? Because there's a generation looking to you and looking to me. It's not about being perfect. It's not about having it all together. But it's a yes and saying, I will be part of the journey. And on that, one generation will tell of your good works.